You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Tough times here on Maranatha Drive. My name is Wongile Lukube. I'm standing in for Zama Malote. And it's time for us to get into our leadership conversation. And we're going to be Elder Aloinya Mazana. He's speaking to us about leadership styles this afternoon. Now, these encompass various approaches. There are so many different approaches that leaders use, ranging from autocratic to democratic, including styles like transformational, transactional, coaching, and servant leadership, each with its own strengths and weaknesses. And so this is what we're going to be discussing in this leadership and transformation segment this afternoon. And so Aloinya Mazana joins us now on the line. My elder, good afternoon.
Nice, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing this afternoon, my elder?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you yourself?
Not too bad, not too bad. But very happy to be having this conversation with you, and a very important one for all our aspiring leaders out there, as well as those who are already in positions of leadership. So I'm looking forward to the lessons that we're going to take from this. Starting with, why is it even important? What's the point of understanding different leadership styles? Why do we need to know our own leadership style?
That's a very important question that you're asking. You know, if you want to perform well in any role, in anything that you do, you need to understand, the different methodologies of doing things. And if you also want to excel as a leader, there's this concept of self-awareness. You need to know yourself. So once you know yourself, you can know your weaknesses, your strength, and how you can learn from your weaknesses, how you can leverage on your strength, and how you can be better. So it's very important to understand the leadership style, so that at least you can maybe improve on where you need to improve, you can leverage on your strength and all those things.
Yes, yes, definitely. And so could you please just take us through the different leadership styles then, and what might be their different strengths, what might be their weaknesses?
Also, there are quite a number of leadership styles. And, the first one that I like the most is transformative leadership.
Yes.
Transformative leaders, they basically try to improve the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
So transformative leaders, they want to overturn institutions. They want to improve efficiency. So they are more result-oriented. They believe that they are influencers. So transformative leaders, they believe that they are influencers. They invest heavily in people. Mm-hmm. Transformative leaders, they try as much as possible to...
Hello, Elder? I'm not sure if you, I think you've muted yourself. We can't hear anything from your end now.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, indeed, I muted myself. So I was saying, yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
So I was saying transformative leaders, they usually invest in people. They make sure that they influence good behavior. They influence positive behavior. Mm-hmm. They lead by doing. They're involved in the in the work that's happening and all those. So transformative leader, they try to change institutions, mm-hmm. sort of. Mm-hmm. That's usual what I can talk about transformative leaders. They're also what you call laissez-faire leaders. Some call them delegative leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So delegative leaders, they are those people who, it's called laissez-faire, some call it laissez-faire. They just trust their people.
Right.
They just trust their people and they leave them to do the job. And they just believe that, once people are capacitated, they can do their work. And, that leader style is fine. It's empowering in a manner, but also over-delegating can also result in lack of accountability. You may fail to have one person who is accountable. You may fail to have one person who can be accountable if things go wrong. So that's the main danger of laissez-faire leadership.
Right, right.
Yes. And also, we can also talk of transactional leadership. So transactional leadership is that leadership style where people believe that for people to perform, they have to be incentivized. They have to be given money.
Okay.
They focus on making sure that people are paid adequately and all those things.
Okay.
They make sure that people are getting benefits. But there's also a challenge to that kind of leadership. Number one, when the resources run out, it means you may not be able to continue sustaining whatever you are doing. It's more like dangling the carrot to say, I want to give you more money.
Yes.
Then I'm dangling this carrot for you. For me, it actually kills motivation. It kills creativity because people only work when there is money.
Right.
There's no self-motivation.
Okay.
That's one disadvantage of that kind of leadership.
All
but of course, on the other hand, it also has its own leadership because naturally people love money, people love incentives, people love rewards. So they can be motivated to work hard based on that. So you notice that transactional leadership leaders, they are basically mostly looking for how to incentivize. They may not, and the other weakness of transactional leaders usually, they may ignore the human aspect of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be very caring people. And as a result, you know, people suffer. You know, beyond the money, people also need leaders who can actually have that close connections with them. And transactional leaders may say, you know what, I'm giving you money. What else do you need from me?
Yeah, exactly.
Then perhaps you can talk of participative leadership, those people who believe we do together, work together, everyone has to make decisions. Yeah, and it's more like democratic leadership. Of course, it has its own weaknesses because usually, you know, issues of accountability also comes into play. And also making decisions can actually take time because there's no one who is really responsible and that can actually result in some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Then finally, we talk about servant leadership. Servant leadership is, I think we take it from mostly from the Bible, is the one that was demonstrated by Christ, where he was actually leading by serving. It's actually leading by serving because, for example, you're actually sacrificing, you know, doing even the, you know, the slowest, the lowest of things, the things that are actually that may be perceived as something that's done by the lowest ranked people.
Yes.
But seven leaders take that approach. I'll give an example. The Lord's Supper, Christ washed the foot, the feet of his disciples. He made sure that he prepared the bread and all those things. So that is servant leadership. And in everything that Christ did when he was on the planet Earth, he was focusing on making sure that people are saved first. So servant leaderships, they don't regard them as bosses, but as servants for to the people that they serve. And for me, it's the best kind of leadership.
Yes. And maybe the most difficult, the most challenging one, because I don't know if we're all just born with a certain level of pride, but to humble yourself in order to be a servant leader. And in fact, we don't even see Jesus instructing people to, he invited people to follow him every now and then, but he never demanded anyone's allegiance. People just naturally gravitated to him.
Precisely. Yeah, because servant leadership, I think as human beings, it really requires to be filled with, it requires one to be filled with the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because really, when you are in a position of leadership, the other thing that to have or the privilege that to have is power. Leaders make decisions, they have power. And it's difficult for a person who has power to go down to the level of people who do not have power and even to put their interests first before his own interests or her own interests. So it really requires somebody who is a real, real and genuine Christian, somebody who is humble, so it's actually punctuated by humility. And I think that's one thing that is lacking in our world right now as we speak.
True, very true. Now, how can a leader identify his or her own particular leadership style? Is there a way that you can know for yourself, or is it possible that you can be misinformed and think you are one way and yet actually you're something else and you just didn't know it?
I think it's possible to be misinformed. Because
so
yeah, it's very much possible because so many people are even the worst leaders, sometimes when you ask them why they do certain things, they might actually tell you that they were serving.
Yeah.
So people have, usually people find a reason for doing things that they are doing. And, you know, sometimes they may think that they are serving and even lack of knowledge itself. So a person may think that they are doing the right thing, but perhaps doing the wrong thing altogether. So yeah, I think it's very much possible to be misinformed, to think that, for example, a person may think that is a servant leader, for example, and may think that they are serving and at the same time. So they may end up developing that entitlement mentality to say, it's because I'm serving everyone here, I need to get everything. So they end up developing the winner takes all approach where they want to grab things. If it's the salaries, they make sure that they get everything. But at the back of their mind, they are saying, you know what, I deserve this because I'm serving people. So even the aspect of servant leadership can actually be misused as well. Yeah. Even people like transformative leaders, they can actually, I like servant leadership and transformative leadership. Mm-hmm. But if you're not careful, you can also actually even abuse that concept. Mm-hmm. You know, transformative leaders are good at what they do mostly because they change the face of institutions and organizations. Mm-hmm. But there's also the challenge that when you change things, you improve things, you can also start developing also the entitlement mentality. Yes. That's when you begin to see people clinging to power without, you know, when their term of office, you know, comes, they don't want to leave because they think they worked hard for this institution and they deserve being in power forever.
Sure. And we see that everywhere. We see that in so many different spheres of our lives, whether that is leadership in an organization or whether we're talking about politics. We see that all the time, that you think because
you're even in church.
Even in church.
Yes.
And then no one wants to move because it's almost like it becomes, this is my house because I'm the one. If it wasn't for me, we would have never gotten to this point.
Exactly. And you know, even those guys that are regarded as great leaders, sometimes they also even face the challenge of that they don't want to nurture others.
Yes. I actually wanted to touch on that. Like, what is that? Is that a fear of being replaced? What is that?
I think it's the fear of, it's a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It's fear of being replaced and also the need to continue controlling things as well. Mm. And I think for me, it's actually also a sign of poor leadership. It's a sign of, because if you go back to the Bible, for example, Moses was a leader. Mm-hmm. When he was leaving, he left Joshua. Yes. Actually, there was a proper handover, takeover between Joshua and Moses. Yeah. We talk of Elijah and Elisha. Mm-hmm. We talk of a lot of leaders in the Bible where power was actually, you know, leadership was actually transferred smoothly. The senior leader actually mentored the younger leader and all those things because they knew that the ultimate goal was to ensure that the institution that they were serving continues smoothly. But in so many cases, people feel that even when they leave, people should actually start seeing some loopholes to expose their successors.
Yes.
They want to expose their successors. They want to live with the legacy of good leadership.
Yes.
They want to ensure that even when they leave, no one will fit in their shoes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure. That's so unfortunate. Can a leader change his or her leadership style? Like if you feel like maybe it's not serving me too well to be a servant leader in this situation, I need to change my tactics. I need to be more of a transactional. I need to be more of a transformational. Is that possible? Can you change, or is that now just trying to change your own nature?
Thank you so much. Actually, one of the key qualities of a good leader is agility.
Okay.
The ability to be flexible, you have to be flexible.
Mm.
So one thing that you need to know is that all these types of leaderships that I've just mentioned, they do have their pros and cons, their disadvantages and advantages. So at one point, you may need to take another leadership style to suit a certain situation, to address a certain situation. So good leaders are elusive, are flexible, they adjust to suit the situation. So the question that we then ask it to say, is it possible to change? I would say these leadership styles under normal circumstances, they should coexist. They should actually coexist. That's, for me, that would be, of course, a leader might be actually be leaning towards a certain type of leadership, but a leader should also be situational in some instances so that they can borrow participatory leadership to address a certain situation can borrow transactional leadership. So sometimes, for example, you're a servant leadership. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to say I'm a servant leadership, so I should not incentivize the people that that follow me.
Yeah.
People get burnout, and that can actually kill the work.
Right.
So in as much as we are servant leadership and transformational leadership leader, you also need to find ways of even ensuring that people are also getting rewards.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I think we can leave it there for today. Thank you so much for coming through and for shedding some light on these different leadership styles. How would you say, as we're closing, how would you advise someone to identify his or her own leadership style?
I think the most important thing is to have that concept of self-awareness.
Yes.
So you need to do self-introspection as a person to say, what are my strengths? What do I like to do the most? When I'm leading institutions, what are the things that I do the most? When I'm leading people, what are the things that I do the most? And what do I hate doing, the things that I dislike?
Yeah.
That can actually tell you about the kind of a person that you are. Even trying to assess some situations where you have actually even clashed with your staff members or maybe with your followers, or situations where maybe your followers have actually expressed gratitude and excitement with your leadership. Mm-hmm. That can actually then help you to then say, okay, so this is my strength. And the other issue is to also ask the people that to work with, just ask them, how is my leadership style? Just those genuine conversation.
Yeah.
It's good to seek feedback from the followers, the people that to work with, so that you do an assessment based on objective feedback from others as well.
Got it.
But also reading as well, just mm-hmm. trying to invest in reading, learning,
mm-hmm.
because I also believe that leaders are not only born, but they are also made.
I love that.
So sometimes you just need to read, learn, and know yourself better. Because in the past, there was this concept of leadership, leaders are born. But I also believe that leaders can be made through learning and experience as well.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Elder, for coming through. And thank you for the beautiful lesson. God bless you.
Thank you so much, my sister. Have a good day.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.